year to the next year, how will we make it over? And how will we make it through? And I realize that just because the calendar changes and the clock ticks doesn't mean that our circumstances will necessarily change. So this morning, I pray that God will speak of word and of encouragement to your heart. I want to summons you and invite you to turn to God's word this morning with me. Just one verse, Psalms 43 and verse 5, the 43rd division of Psalms and verse 5. The psalmist asks the questions, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Since there's only one verse, can I read it again? Is that all right? Do I have your permission? These folk here, y'all are looking at me. Can I read it again? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Church, when I read these words, the words no doubt accredited to the penman David, I'm drawn to the text this time not by just what the words themselves say and portray. I'm not drawn or gravitated, if you will, to God's word just because of the content. Normally, I get excited about what's being said. And I'm still excited about what's being said, but that's not what initially struck me when I revisited this text. What I'm not amazed by is what's being said, but what I'm amazed by is by who the writer is talking to. Why are you so cast down, oh, my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Church, can I let you in on something? The brother's talking to himself. Have you ever talked to yourself? Tap your neighbor and say, soul talk. I had to ask myself the question is, before I preach something like this, is this normal? Is this normal, if you will, to draw the spotlight on somebody who's talking to himself? We often warn against such behavior and tell other folk it's not good to talk to yourself, and it's certainly not good to answer and respond to yourself. The old folk would tell us as I was growing up, don't start talking to yourself. People see that and have you put away. I'm not quite sure on the surface if talking to yourself is good behavior. But then Calvin began to do a little introspection. And I noticed that on occasions, I too talk to myself. Am I the only one? Have you ever walked around the house rushing at the last minute and you say out loud, now where did I put my keys? Have you ever walked around the room and said, I know I have my glasses and ain't nobody in the room but you, so it's not like you're asking somebody else, you're talking to yourself. You get in the car and you're driving down the road and folk cutting you off on 540. And you say, these folk must be crazy. Number one, you're the only one in the car. Number two, the windows aren't down, so nobody else can hear you. Number three, the drivers can't hear you. You are talking to yourself. We all talk to ourselves on occasion. But the question is, and as we move forward into a new year, but who do you talk to when you're going through? Who do you talk to when the bottom falls out of life? All of the self-improvement gurus, they have labeled talking to ourselves as a good thing. It's called self-talk. They tell us that you have to motivate yourself. In the prosperity movement, in the word of faith movement, they say that you have to speak over your life. You have to speak things into existence. The power of life and death is in the tongues. Unfortunately, they take that passage out of context and misconstrue the meaning of it. But I understand the principle behind it. But I don't want to talk about self-motivation and self-talk. What I want to do is look at the scriptures, look at a character in the scriptures who's doing a good thing, but he's not having self-talk. He's having soul talk. There's a difference, church. Paul Tripp, he wrote and said it this way. He writes and said it this way. No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. Can I say that again? No one is more influential in your life than you are, because no one talks to you more than you do. In chapters 42 and 43, we borrow this fifth verse, but the psalmist David, he talks to himself on three different occasions, but says the exact same words. As a matter of fact, when we look at chapters 42 and 43, they shouldn't really be divided into two separate psalms. They're really one psalm in two minor parts, if you will. Understand it's a poem. Understand that there are lyrics to a song. So in other words, they are two categories within one song. These words, no doubt, were penned by David when he was in exile and he had been abandoned because of the betrayal of his son, Absalom. He's hurt. He's feeling pain. He's feeling despair. Those in the mind sciences today would say that he is suffering from some sense of depression. Have you ever been there? When we look at David, we understand that there are two things that are going on within himself. First of all, he listens to himself. Somebody say he listens. Secondly, then he begins to talk to himself. Soul talk. Notice number one, he listens to his thoughts. I wish y'all would go with me in the sermon today. Chapter 42, beginning verses 1 through 4, he starts off, first of all, talking to the Lord. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Am I right about it? As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul for you, O God. Just like a deer is thirsty for water, so my soul, O God. He's talking to God. But now notice the transition from talking to God to listening to his own thoughts. My soul thirsts for God. He's now talking to God now. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Listen to him, listening to himself. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. You ever listen to yourself? Sometimes we tell that to other folk, especially if you're married. Baby, have you ever just stopped and listened to yourself? Maybe we need, y'all don't do that in y'all house? Maybe we all need to, just for a moment, just stop and listen to yourself. Listen to your despair. Listen to your discomfort. Listen to your agony. Listen to your worry. Listen to your anxiety. Listen to your perplexity. Listen to your hopelessness. Listen to your despair. This is really David's lament, if you will. He's distraught. He's in agony. David is like many of us today. He is suffering from some level of depression, and yet his inner voice speaks and he listens to his own thoughts. But notice David's deepest despair. It comes from two different sources. Number one, it comes from his outward enemies. And number two, it comes from the sense of a void of God in his life. I'm going to say it again. Number one, it comes from his outward enemies. That's where his despair, his pain is coming from. Have you ever been in that place? But secondly, it comes as a result of a void that is in his life. Notice, if you will, his outward enemies, number one. Verses 9 and 10. Why do I go mourning because of the opposition of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Have you ever you ever had so-called friends? I'm going to use that term again. So-called friends. They're supposed to have your back, and yet they betray your trust. Next thing you know, you see your name all on their social media pages. You see pictures that you didn't want posted. You hear things that you shouldn't be hearing coming out of the mouths of others. That's the way David is feeling right now. People on your job that you trusted, people in your family, people even in the church that you trusted, but now there's a betrayal of that trust. And if you're human, we all hurt. David is hurt. And then the question is, David says, it feels like they're breaking my bones. Now, they're not only hurting me in their opposition, but now they're challenging me in my faith. So where is your God? Y'all with me this morning, right? Outward opposition. But secondly, somebody say, a void in the soul. Look at verse 2. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Now, when he says my soul thirsts for God, and then he says the living God, he's talking about having intimacy with God. He didn't say I don't know God. He says that I'm not close to God. I don't feel like God is close to me. The living God, a living relationship, an intimate relationship. Then he says, when shall I come and appear before God? When can I be drawn close unto his presence? You know, it seems like it always happens simultaneously. We get an outward attack of opposition, and then we have a void in our soul. We say, God, where are you when I need you most? Have you ever been there? Heard on Saturday night or even Sunday morning, but you still come to church. And you can't even get your hands up to praise God. Seem like you can't find the strength to sing praises unto God. You're listening to the, you hear the sermon, but you ain't listening. You're not attentive because of your pain and because you feel that there is a void. David is listening. This void in his heart. He's listening to his inner thoughts. But the question for David is the question for us is what am I listening to? What is my source of words that I'm hearing, the feelings and the emotions? Is it the truth of God or is it the lies of the enemy? Tap your neighbor and say, be careful what you listen to. We need to be careful of where we're getting our information because the same line, listen, that truth comes down is the same line and number that lies will dial up on you. I wish I had a witness. And to be honest with you, even for the preacher, sometimes truth get entangled with lies and you can't tell the one from the other. Especially when we start getting into our feelings. Tap your other neighbor and say, don't let them rats run around in your attic. See, some of y'all don't know that. Y'all were raised in the suburbs, but I was raised in the hood. Now, I never remember rats and mice in our house, but I had an auntie, and she had some roaches. She had a petting zoo, and she would say mice, but I say rats. Normally, I wouldn't spend the night over there, but this night, it was late, and I decided to stay over there because I didn't want to walk home. And they'd already said, and I had already seen, rats running through the basement. And I laid down as soon as the light went off. I could hear them in the wall just running up and down. Then the next thing you know, because we're on the second floor, I heard them in the attic. Sound like they were tap dancing on the floorboards. Not a basement party, but they were having an attic party. Needless to say, I could not sleep. Especially after the story my cousin told me that once a mouse got under her cover and bit her. I'm going to say it again. Don't let the rats run in your attic. You'll lose a whole lot of sleep and a whole lot of worry about those rats. People who say that they love you, but they're running around in your head. First, listen. He listens to himself. It's the voice of despair. But notice now, he moves from listening to himself to talking to himself. He says to himself, verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me?" I've noticed that there are three movements, if you will, in this verse. Somebody say movements. Oftentimes when we're observing a text, there are movements, transitions in the text. We're at this place, but then all of a sudden we move to this place, not necessarily geographical locations, but thoughts and processes, if you will. So look at these three different movements in this one verse. The first movement is a question that David asked. It's contained in the word twice, why? Somebody say why. But notice David is not like most of us in the most occasions asking God, why am I going through this? Why am I going through these difficulties? No, David is asking himself, why, soul, are you so downcast? And why are you so disquieted? Why are you so anxious? And why are you so worried? In other words, David is asking questions of self-inventory. We all need to ask these questions and take some self-inventory. First, David is identifying the source of his sorrow. Somebody say, identify the source. Where is my pain coming from? Because pain and anger, they are all secondary emotions. They're not the primary. They're not on the front. You just don't get angry about nothing. There's something that caused the anger, something that caused the pain, something that caused the grief. So David says, let me try to figure out why I hurt so bad. Why am I so depressed? David is coming to grips with the truth. He's got a handful of emotions, but he wants to find out, if you will, what has caused this pain. What are the circumstances surrounding it? And notice what David does not do. David does not pretend that his sorrows don't exist. In other words, David is not of that word of faith movement. I'm not going to think it, so it's not going to happen. I'm not going to say it or identify with it, so it does not happen. Listen, you can say that you ain't sick, but you're sick. You can say that your marriage ain't bad, but if it's bad, it's bad. You can say that I don't have bad kids and I ain't claim them. That just simply means, listen, you're under a false reality and you don't want to put them out. You can say or think whatever you want to think, but there is a reality. If right now I get shot, you can say, think all you want to and stand there and sit there and say, he ain't shot and we ain't claiming it. But I hope somebody got common sense and dial 911. Sometimes we're so spiritual, we ain't got common sense. I know this is not good grammar. My spell check was going crazy when I typed it in, but he does not claim them. Did you hear what I said? He does not claim them. I don't know if it should be hyphenated. There's what should go in the middle of there, but he does not. In other words, he accepts his feelings. He accepts his emotions. He accepts his reality. That great preacher of old, one of my favorite, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said it this way. David chides David out of the dumps. And herein, he is an example for all desponding ones. Spurgeon says, to search out the cause of our sorrow is often the best surgery for grief. Why am I hurting? Sometimes it's I opened my mouth and got myself in trouble. I made a bad decision. Why am I so disheartened? Why am I suffering from grief and depression? We all need to take that inventory when we're going through difficult times. We all need to talk to ourselves and say, why are you so downcast, my soul? But here's the second thing about that. After you do introspection and find the source, you need to move on. And even the same why, listen, you're moving from what is the cause of my pain to take an inventory and say, but should I really feel this way? In other words, so what is the real deal, for real, for real? I mean, do I have a legitimate reason to be depressed? Do I have a legitimate reason to be worried? Do I have a legitimate reason to be anxious, especially in the light of the greatness of God? I'm preaching, y'all just haven't noticed it yet. Is God really sovereign? Is God really almighty? Is God really bigger than my enemies and greater than my problems? Then you need to just say, when you find out what the source is, if you ever find out, then you need to ask your soul, so why are you tripping? Yeah, that's what it boils down to. Because some folk have been in the same place for years. You're 42 years old and you're still talking about what your mom and daddy did not do for you and what they did not get for you, and that they like your sister better than you because she had good hair. Get over it. Move on. God gave you your hair. Some of y'all ain't laughing because you know that's you. Ask your neighbor, tell your neighbor, stop tripping. But that's the first movement. It's the question. It's the question. Why? But the second movement in verse 5 is not the question, but it's the solution. I like to refer to it as the instruction. You got to ask yourself the question, why? Search for the origin. But notice David couldn't stay there long. Some of us are staying with the why. We're trying to find out why we're hurting. We're spending all of our money to go to a therapist, which is great, but we want to spend years in talking about why and pouring all of our pain and all of our experiences and emptying out all of our baggage, but we never get to a solution. David says, I got to move from the question to the solution or the instruction. And this is what he says, hope in God. The NIV says, put your hope in God. David again now moved from self-inventory, the question to the solution, to the instruction. Notice he didn't try to fix his why. He just said, it's sick, it's there. Notice this, not only did he not try to fix his why, in other words, the cause of his pain, but he wasn't fixated by it. Some of us are so caught into who's hurting us that we have forgotten God and have forgotten ourselves. You're so worried about where they are and what they're doing and what they're driving and who they're with and what vacation they went on and how could they afford something like that. And he ain't even paid his child support. And he had fixated. Notice, this is how we fix the problem. You fix falsehood with truth. That's how you do it. You don't patch it up with more lies. If you're going to fix what's wrong, you have to fix it on the basis of what's right. Did you hear what I said? So now David turns from listening to his own negativity and the negativity of others and what they are telling him, and he reminds himself of what God has said about him and the circumstances. Did y'all get that? He was reminding him, God is reminding him what he has recorded in his word. David said, I've got to move from helplessness to hope in God. Lord, I will put my trust in you. And so David started talking to himself, started talking to his soul. Soul talk. You know, sometimes you got to preach to yourself. I know some of y'all saying, I ain't ordained for this, but you preach to everybody else. You are ordained to preach to yourself. Amen. You try to tell everybody else how to live and what ain't right in their life. Let us tap your neighbor and say, stop preaching to yourself sometime. You got to, if I could say, talk to yourself, but if we're using the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ and we're correcting the wrong with truth, you're preaching to yourself. You have to preach gospel truth into your own hearts, and that's the only way that you can deal with the doubt. That's the only way you can deal with the anxiety, the worry, the loneliness, the despair, the depression, and even that identity crisis. You got to move from listening to yourself, listening to your despair, to preaching to your own soul. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself and remind yourself what God has to say and what God has promised you through his word and who he said he will be. Remind yourself that God's love is still great for you. Y'all don't like that thing, preaching to yourself, right? You don't like that. Because here's what it looks like on Monday morning. You get up on Monday morning and you start listening to yourself. And this is what self starts saying. These people on this job get on my last nerve. They better not say nothing to me today. She better not even look my way today. I tell you what I'm going to do. Let them say anything. I'm not only going to go off, but I'm going to quit. You listening to yourself. You need to stop listening to yourself and start preaching truth to yourself. And when you start preaching truth, you just might turn to the text found in Psalm 27 says, then the Lord is my light of my salvation. So therefore, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. And whom shall I wish I had somebody in here that just didn't mind having church all by yourself on a Monday morning. Just preach to yourself. Then you get up on Tuesday morning and you start listening to yourself and looking on the kitchen counter. You say, all these bills are piling up. I'm not going to be able to make it. You're listening to yourself. You're listening to all of your problems. But then you need to start preaching to yourself. Go from listening to talking to your soul. Reminding your soul through the preached word of God what God has to say about the situation. You might just turn to the text found in Psalm 37 where I hear the young David said, I once was young. But now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. You might just turn over to Matthew in the gospel, and hear Jesus says, seek me first, and the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added to you. Tap your neighbor and say, start preaching. Yeah. You might just get up on Wednesday morning, on hump day, and you start listening to yourself. Start talking as soon as you open your eyes and you become conscious, self starts talking. And you start thinking, it's the middle of the week. I'm not going to make it. I feel defeated. Work is overwhelming. School is overwhelming. I'm raising kids all by myself. What you need to do is just pause for a moment and take a little sip of this Wednesday wine. Is it all right for me to say that on a Sunday morning? Just a little sip. First I had a drink, but just a little sip of the Wednesday wine. And when you turn and pop the cork on Romans 8, you might hear these words. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that love us. You might even look in the mirror and say, preach, preacher. Woo! Just a sip. Just a sip. You don't want to go to work with a holy intoxication. They can't stand you. Just a sip. But how many know that Thursday comes after Wednesday? Thursday, you get up in the morning and you're listening to yourself again. I'm a nobody and I'm not good at anything. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm not thin enough. You need to stop listening to yourself and start preaching to yourself. If you start preaching to yourself, you might take a text over in Psalms 139, which says, I am fearfully. And wonderfully made. You might need to cross-reference that and go back to Genesis 1 and says, let us make man and woman in our image after our likeness. You might have to cross-reference Genesis 1 to Ephesians 2. You better preach, preacher. And Paul says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Not going to work and feel good about yourself. It ain't self-esteem, it's godly esteem. Yeah. How many folk know, but then Friday comes after Thursday. And you get up in the morning and you start listening to yourself. And itself starts saying, I've got troubles on every hand. And I'm surrounded by the enemy. And you're feeling defeated and you don't know which way to go. And you start preaching to yourself. And you might turn to a text in Psalms 25. that says, guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my Savior and my hope is in you all day long. So look at it. Look at this. So you got truth in front of you. God leading and guiding you in the front of you. Yeah, stay with me now. And he's going to guide you into truth, and that is saving truth. But then when you flip back into Psalms, you see that, but surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I know I'm surrounded by my enemies, but I got truth in front of me, guiding me. Who is that behind me? That's goodness and that's mercy. And it's just following me. Following me. Why y'all following me? You're going to need us to follow you. Oh. Okay. Tap your neighbor and say, you better stop preaching. But the week ain't over. Then there's Saturday morning. You start listening to yourself. I got to go to this funeral. I don't know how I'm going to make it through this. I miss my mama. I'm going to miss my daddy. I miss grandma. Lord knows I'm going to miss my child. I'm not going to be able to make it through this. You start listening to yourself. I might as well just jump over in the hole with them. I can't see past tomorrow. You start telling folks, y'all just going on till tomorrow without me. I just can't. You better stop listening to yourself and start preaching to yourself. Because if you start preaching to yourself, you might turn to the 23rd Psalms and hear, yea, though I walk through the valley, covered under the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil. Here's the reason why. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They even prepare a table before my greatest enemy, called death. And the Lord said, you sit on this side of the table, and death sit on this side of the table. And I'm not only going to serve you, but I'm going to protect you so you can enjoy your meal. You might just start preaching to yourself and turn to the words of Paul, get you a good dose of Paul. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ. I heard somebody say the other day, any day on this side is better than a day on the other side. I said to myself, they must not know Jesus. For I realized this, that if I died right now, my body's going to take a dirt nap. But my soul is going on to be with the Lord to live forever. Yeah, and it's just a nap. Somebody shout, in 3 days. You might get another dose of Paul and start preaching to yourself. For we know that if this tent, our earthly home, is destroyed. For we know. Somebody say, I know this. But you got to preach this to yourself. We have a building from God. A house that is not made with hands, but is eternal in the heavens. That's Saturday. You good to go. Oh, but then there's Sunday morning. Don't think that the devil don't talk on Sunday mornings to you. Sunday morning, and you had a rough week, and you kept listening to yourself, and then you had to preach to yourself. And then Sunday morning rolls around. Y'all know how Sunday comes. And Sunday morning, you kind of roll over. And once you see the breaking of day, then you start listening to self. And self says, I don't want to go to church today. Self said, I'm tired. I want to sleep in. Self said, I'm failing in my walk with Christ anyway. Self says, I ain't doing the right thing and making the right decisions anyway. Self said, I'm broke and I ain't got no money for the offering anyway. Self said, people are always looking at me sideways anyway. Self said, the preacher is long-winded. And self, when we listen to self, said, just stay in the bed. You better start preaching. Because when you start preaching, you'll probably turn over to the Psalms, in Psalm 118, and you hear these words, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice. Get our butts up out the bed, my parentheses. And we will be glad in it. I'm going to say it again. This is the day that the Lord has made that we didn't have to see in the first place. We didn't even have to be here. But by his grace, you might just flip over for a cross reference in Psalms 100. It says, shout to the Lord, all ye earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord, that he's God. It is he who made us. That'll make you get up. And not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And then this is what it says. Enter into his gates. You got to get up out of bed for that. I'm sorry. I hate to disappoint you. You better start preaching. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts. You got to get dressed for that. With praise. Give thanks unto the Lord and praise his name. Here's the reason why. For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues to all generations. Yeah. You're going to have to get up. And then when you've been in church Sunday morning, and then when the church service is over, you get back home and you get comfortable. You get into your relaxing rags. And then you have this thought. It's New Year's Eve. And we got a New Year's Eve worship celebration at 9:30. Can I just go ahead and put this in here? And you start listening to yourself while you are cozied up by the fireplace on a cold day. And self says, self, you done already been this morning. Ain't no need it overdoing it. Leave some space for them folk that don't go to church all year long, that they want to use Jesus as a good luck piece to start off the new year. So I'm going to stay at home. But listen to this. You need to stop listening to yourself and start preaching to yourself. If you start preaching to yourself, you'll hear a sermon that David once preached. It was entitled Praise. And he said, this is how often I praise him. I rise up early in the morning and I praise him. But then David said that ain't good enough, just a Sunday morning praise. And David says, listen to this, I'll praise him three times a day, in the morning, in the noonday, and in the evening. But then the sermon continued to the third point. David said, nah, three times a day is not good enough. David said, I'll praise him seven times a day. Y'all remember the word of God? Now, David said, that ain't good enough. Let me go ahead and get my clothes on so I get ready for church. David said, his praise shall continue be in my mouth. Y'all, that's preaching. You see, when you start preaching to yourself, even before you get to church, have you ever had a worship service all by yourself? You start preaching to yourself. You become your own praise and worship team. You singing in the shower. You singing. Yeah, you know you can't sing, but you're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's all he required. Some noise, some joyful noise. And you're singing unto the Lord. Y'all hear what I said? And listen to this. And you done already preached. So by the time you get to church on Sunday morning, you ain't waiting for a praise team to pump you up. You ain't waiting for the preacher to preach you up. You come in and you say to the praise team, y'all go ahead and sing. I done already sung this morning, but I'm going to join you in on the second part. You say to the preacher, preach, preacher, give me the second sermon of the day, because I done already preached to myself when I got up this morning. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Give me a word to confirm the word. I ain't even got to the third movement. Now we're going to move on out of here. Is that all right? So you go home and relax, eat your little something, come on back. Amen. Amen. The third movement, he goes from the question, why? Then he moves to the solution, the instruction. Put your hope in God. But then we see thirdly, he comes to a resolve. Here's the resolve. For I shall yet, I like that. I started this entitled the whole sermon, Yet. For I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You see, David moved from the question of self-inventory. Why? He moved from the solution, that is to put your hope in God. And now he gets to the resolve. It's a resounding resolve. It's in this one word, yet. I like that. Collins defines the word yet in this manner. Nevertheless, still, in spite of that. I know y'all are educated, but let me talk to these folk over here because I think they done been through more than y'all have gone through. He says yet means nevertheless, still, in spite of that, so far, up till now, or even then. And yet Collins give rules of how we use the word yet. He said if it's used in an adverb, this is what he says. He said you can use yet to emphasize a word. Especially when you are saying that something is surprising because it is more extreme than the previous thing of its kind. y'all didn't get that. Did y'all get that right there? This is what he says. You can use yet to emphasize a word that you're about to say, a phrase that you're about to say, because listen, it is surprising because what you're about to say is more extreme than what you just been through. How my crowd doing over here? Y'all all right? Come on with me, everybody. And so when the psalmist says, look, I done been through hell and back. Yet. Hell is extreme. But when you start talking about praising him in light of hell, praising him is more extreme than what you just been through. Y'all catch it now? Yet, I will praise him. Somebody shout yet. In other words, after all you have been through in 2017, do you have a yet I will praise him? Yet is that fulcrum on the teeter-totter, on the seesaw, where you got all your pain and your sorrow and you got all your contention on this side. And then on this side, listen, you got a praise that God rightly deserves. And right there at the fulcrum is where you put your yet. And let me see if your yet outweighs and becomes more extreme than your pain. Is your praise greater than your pain? My marriage fell apart, but yet I'm going to praise him. The kids may not go the way I want them to go, but yet I'm going to praise him. The car got repossessed, but yet I'm going to praise him. I got to move out the house, but yet one is extreme, but the praising God and he's worthy of the praise is even more extreme than what I've been through. This country is in turmoil, yet I'm going to praise him. Did y'all hear that? God has a way of turning our sorrow into joy. He has a way of turning our pain, if you will, into purpose. He has a way of taking our conflict and turning it into our comfort. But our eyes are not fixed on our circumstances. Our eyes are fixed in our faith in Christ Jesus. Closing, I can hear the songwriter. The folks in the church when I grew up in East Lake Baptist Church, they used to sing a song, a hymn, it says, like a ship that's tossed and driven, battered by the angry sea or waves. When the storms of life are raging and their fury falls on me. Have you ever been there? I wonder what I've done to make this race so hard to run. Then I say to my soul, don't worry. Y'all didn't hear that. Then I start preaching to my soul. That's soul talk. Some of y'all don't know about that. I start preaching to my soul. Don't worry. Here's the reason why. Because the Lord will make a way somehow. Have I got a witness? Soul talk. Soul talk. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You got to proclaim God's word. That's the reason why it's so important for us to gather on Sunday mornings. Because sometimes we're so weak. Sometimes we're so lost we can't even find the word of God during the week. But when we come on Sunday, God re-equips us, refreshes us with his word of God that we might be armed for the rest of the week to preach to yourself. To take self-inventory, yet at the same token, to come to the solution. I'm not going to cast my eyes on my circumstances. I'm going to put my trust in God. I'll put my hope in God. Anybody want to put your hope in God today? Anybody willing to trust him? Father God, we thank you this morning Thank you, Lord, that we have somewhere that is sure that we might put our hope and trust in. Someone that we can trust. Someone who is absolute truth. Someone, oh Father, who is never failing and have withstood the test of time. Someone who is not passing or fleeting. Someone, oh Father, that is not only stable but able. God, we thank you for you. Thank you for being you, and thank you for being who you are, and who you are even to us. Because, God, you're good to us on our good days, and even in our bad days. You're just good. God, we thank you today, O Lord, even in this year, as we look back, O Father, everything hadn't always been smooth. It ain't all been peaches and cream. Promise that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We're preaching to ourselves now, oh God. Lord, we're reminding ourselves of what you've already said about us, what you've said to us. God, help us, oh Father, to realize just how much you love us. Somebody today are going through, oh Father, don't know how they're going to make it. Help them to put their trust in you, not their eyes on their circumstances. Realizing, oh Father, that you're testing and purifying our faith and our confidence in you. Lord, I pray today, oh Lord, that you even, oh Father, minister to the hearts of those that may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And that on this day, oh Father, that your glorious gospel will reach them right where they are. Oh Father, and that through your gospel, your good news of Jesus Christ, they would hear that you so loved them and you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son. You did what not even the best man or person on earth would ever do. And you gave your Son not for the good folk, because there are none that are good except you. But you gave your Son, oh Father, Lord, for those who have sinned and have strayed away from you and separated from you because of original sin. And oh Father, we love sin. We love our nature of sin. Yet, oh Father, you loved us more than we love sin. For where sin abounds, grace therefore much more abounds. And so today, oh Father, we thank you for sending your Son. And I pray, is anyone here that may not know Christ, they realize that you not only love us, but Christ loved us. He gave his life that they might have eternal life, that they might have life more abundantly. God, I pray today, if there's anyone here that may not know Christ, they will come to know him as Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray today they open their hearts and they would say, Lord, here I am. I give myself to you. They would leave this place today with godly assurance, standing on your promises. Oh, Lord, that you would never leave them nor forsake them. Lord, I pray today if there's anyone that is sick, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, that you would bring about healing, oh, Father. You know our heart's desire and theirs. Lord, we pray that your perfect will is done, that you give them grace, that you give them strength, that you give them joy. I pray, oh Father, that if there's those, oh Father, whose relationships are being severed and torn apart, that you bring about healing and reconciliation. Lord, I know that you can. Lord, I pray today, Lord, for those here, oh Father, who are not in a place, oh Lord, spiritually as disciples of Christ, where they're walking closely to you. The psalmist talked about it today. But, oh, Father, they feel like maybe not only they're separated from you, but you separated yourself from them. Lord, I pray today, oh, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts and remind them that you've always been there. Like the prodigal son, oh, Father, in the hog pen, the father's always been there, waiting for them to come to themselves and to come back home. Well, God, we thank you today. Lord, continue to speak to our hearts, Lord, throughout this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, let's magnify the Lord in this place.